Okay, good to see everybody. The lesson title is How Close Is God? And it's really quite simple, closer than you think. And sometimes we think he's in our midst, and there's other times that we think he's far away. And actually, both answers are correct. God is everywhere. So both answers are correct. But for us, he is just a prayer away. When you think about it, that's how close God is. I mean, we can talk to him. The moment we start talking to him, he's hearing us and he's paying attention to us. See, sometimes Christians do not feel the presence of God in their lives. Well, there's a lot going on. Sometimes this worldliness has entrapped them and enthralled them, and they can't let go of what this world has to offer. And so that's definitely a problem in that case. Sometimes they really don't focus on things. I mean, as I was praying, he said, let me keep focused. Let me do those things you want me to do. And it takes a lot of focus. It takes a lot of effort on our part to make sure we're focused on God, to keep him in our lives and to remember his presence in our lives. And sometimes we feel that God is far away or he's so busy that he really doesn't have time for us. And I'm sure some of us feel that way. I know I do every now and then, that sometimes things just look like, well, I mean, it's just a big mess and I don't know where God is. And so we feel that way sometimes. But, I mean, that's just natural, I would imagine. And yet, the problem is, when we fail to recognize his presence, we slip into sinful activity. Believe me, I mean, you can know this, that if you're aware of God's presence, you're most likely not going to be committing sin. Because you don't want to sin in front of God. And that's the way we are. But it's when we forget that God is near, that God is around us, that all of a sudden, well, we tend to get a little naughty. I mean, it might be maybe you're on your computer and all of a sudden there's something shows up that catches your eye and you want to see more. Or you get busy maybe watching a program or something and things are going on that you really shouldn't be watching. And there's nobody there to say stop, especially if you're alone. And so, yeah, sometimes we can slip into sinful activity. And so we have to recognize God is always present. And of course, we all know that God is busy watching over his whole creation, which is a whole lot bigger than I am. And so we sometimes feel that way, that he is so busy, he doesn't have time for me. And we might feel that way sometimes. And so we conclude sometimes that we're on our own and that he is not accessible. We feel that way, and a lot of times we try and work things out by ourselves without having to ask God, okay, God, I need some help now, but we feel that way sometimes, and we're not. I mean, that's just all of this is just a misconception on our part, because God is near, and he's very close by. Now, it is a tragedy that God is considered so inaccessible by so many people. And to many, he is far away, locked in an inner office with an alert guard of clergymen, forms, and format to protect him from the ordinary caller. Just like trying to call the president. I mean, you go through a lot of secretaries and a lot of aides and everything, because you pick up the phone and try and call, you're not going to get through. We know that. We know that from experience and from what other people have done. Only certain people who have credentials and have the authority can call him up and say, hey, we got a problem here. And so he's that way. And sometimes it's harder to get access to God than the president, or so we feel. I mean, God's so busy, he's trying to fix all of our worldly problems and try and take care of all these people. He doesn't have time to be messing with little old me and my little bitty problems. And that's how we feel sometimes. But this idea is wholly foreign to the truth. When we start looking at the truth of how close is God, like I say, it puts us in the proper perspective. See, Matthew 6 and verse 6, Jesus said, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." All right, yeah, so, and this, in Matthew 6, he had just talked about those people who go out in the marketplace, in the open public, and they lift up their arms and say the long prayers. And everybody said, "Oh, they're a religious person." And that's why they do it. They're doing it to get the praises of men. Jesus said, "You don't do this to show off to men. You do this in secret with your Father when you go pray." So whether you go into a room, or some versions say closets, you go into a closet, or maybe you can just go out into the backyard, back in the garden, and just sit there and talk to God. Maybe you can just get out and just drive around the countryside. God is there too, so you might as well talk to God while you're out there and enjoying the beauty that He has in this creation. And so you can talk to God then. So prayer is a Christian's privilege, which is made real and earnest, meaningful, because a Christian, and only a Christian, truly appreciates such characteristics of God. And we're going to notice some of those characteristics that God has. And when I talk about meaningful prayer, later on this month, we're going to have another sermon on meaningful prayer, how to make our prayer more meaningful, and, of course, make it meaningful to God as well. See, we have to recognize God is near. You know, Isaiah 59:1, is God a God that is near and not far off? I mean, so that's what it is. See, God is in that place of prayer waiting for us. Like I say, we are told by Paul to pray without ceasing. And so we have to know and understand that the very moment we begin our prayer, God has already heard it. God has already heard everything we're going to be saying. He's already done that. You know, Daniel chapter 9. Daniel started his prayer. He started, of course, he said he was going to pray, so he began with fasting. He started a day of fasting, and then he bowed down before God and honored God and gave God some compliments and started offering his petition to God. And before Daniel finished his prayer, Gabriel, the angel, was standing there before him. It says, "The moment that you began your prayer, God sent down the message to answer this man." And so God is listening to us. And so just because we think, well, God knows what I'm going to pray for, so I don't have to pray. Some people get to that point. They get to that point, well, I don't need to pray because God already knows what's in my heart. God knows what I'm going to say. He still wants you to say it. So we're supposed to cast our burdens on Him because He cares for us. And so we have a lot of different burdens. Some of us, it's health issues. Some of us, it's financial issues. Some of us, it's neighbor issues or family issues or you name it, work issues. I mean, all of this going on, but God still wants to hear from us. See, Jesus is saying that God is already there. God is already waiting for us to begin our prayer, wherever we decide to pray. Whether it's in the closet, whether it's in the room, whether it's outdoors, whether it's indoors, whether it's out in the country or in the city. When we get ready to pray, God is there waiting on us. And so, this prayer room, He's waiting to hear from us. And we need to know that. And we can feel the presence of God when we pray. Not from any supernatural divine signal, but from the assurance of Scripture. Scripture tells us, the Lord hears His righteous ones. He is attentive to their prayer. Psalm 34 tells us that. And He pays attention to the prayer of the righteous. And of course, we also read in the Proverbs and Psalms that God doesn't pay attention to the prayer of the wicked. It's an abomination to Him. So we think about it from that aspect. The only prayers God's going to pay attention to are from the righteous. Now, when we look at this world, how many righteous are there in this world? There's a whole lot less righteous than there are wicked. So basically, we can take probably 90% of the human population and just kind of discount them because they're not going to be praying anyway for most part. So there are just a few left who are going to pray. So that's why God can handle it. Of course, even if everybody started praying righteous prayers, God could handle that too. But we don't have to feel like God is so inaccessible. See, the Word tells us God is never far from us. He is always near. And that's the message he had from Adam and Eve, the message he gave to Noah and Moses and Abraham. God is near. And so, even through the prophets, he was telling people that. The Psalms talked about the nearness of God. The Proverbs talks about the nearness of God. And we recognize God has to be near to us. See, in Acts 17, 27, 28, this is on Mars Hill. Paul is preaching to them and says, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. And so in Psalms 119, verse 151, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. And then Psalm 145, 18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth. And so, God is near. Next thing we realize, God hears. God hears our prayers. See, this passage teaches God will listen to our prayers. See, your Father who sees in secret will hear in secret. See, there's far more depth to this statement than just physically seeing us as we pray. You know, we go into the room, we may bow down, we may sit down, we may stand up, and it's not the posture that we're standing in when we pray that he is watching. He is watching what's coming from our hearts. And that's what God is paying attention to. And so, he's seeing more than just our physical stature. See, it implies that God is there to hear what we say, and then we can be assured that he hears our prayers. And yes, even the psalmist recognized that God hears the prayers of the righteous. Those trying to be righteous, God hears those prayers. And so God listens to the prayers of his people. Now, he may not pay attention to the prayers of those who aren't his people, and those people living in the world who do not give God any recognition, he doesn't pay any attention to them. Because they're going to be sitting there praying that their team's kicker when hits the field goal just right, or that they can make money or have a big mansion to live in or something. God's not going to pay attention to those prayers. But the prayers of the righteous, when we're asking things according to his will, he hears us. See, Hebrews 4:13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. God sees it all. God hears it all. God knows it all. And so our only problem is recognizing that fact. And sometimes we have a problem doing that because we have other things that kind of get in the way. Takes our focus off of God, and sometimes our focus is more on the job or our family or friends or the sports or politics or whatever. I mean, we have to give an account to God, and God sees everything. We forget that sometimes, and therefore we get busy and we start sinning. And so it's when we remember God is seeing everything, that's when we start to act on our best behavior. See, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And that's true. If we ask according to his will, it's going to happen. And we recognize that. He wants us to approach him in prayer. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So yes, we can approach the throne of grace in prayer, and we can find that mercy that we are seeking. Another point, God cares. You sometimes wonder about that. Of course, we look around, sometimes we wonder if people that should be caring about us actually care about us, whether it might be family, it might be church family or neighbors, something. Do they really care about us? I mean, maybe they care about us up to the point where we're providing a service for them. If we weren't doing that, they probably wouldn't care about us. And we all feel that way, don't we? Sometimes we feel people at church don't really care about me. I'm on my own. And a lot of times we feel that way. I'm on my own. So what do I do? Yeah, we can sulk into a depression. We can sulk into self-pity. But no, we got to remember God cares. See, God wants us to go to him in prayer because he truly cares about us. You know, that should be evident from him sending Jesus to die for us. I mean, let's face it. I mean, the greatest act of love is the fact that God sent his son to die on the cross. And so he does care about us. He wants us to have that salvation. In Romans 5, 8, "But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so, yes, God does care about us. He does show his love towards us. John 3, 16, "God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son." So God's special care is over his children. In 1 Peter 5, 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." That's what we have to be reminded of all the time. We need to lay our burdens on the Lord because he really does care about us. He looks out for our welfare. He looks out for our security and our safety. And although a lot of those things, we just have to rely upon the providence of God to see these things come to pass. I mean, we just have to recognize that if we've been blessed, who do we give the credit to? Not going to give the credit to the government. We're not going to give credit to political parties. We're going to give the credit to God. Because let's face it, if we who are Christians have been blessed, it's God who's done the blessing. And then when God puts people in our life whereby they care about our soul, they become a blessing to us. And that's why each and every one of us in this room needs to be a blessing to each other, to encourage and to care for them and see if we can do anything for them and do what we can. You know, Matthew 6, 30 through 32. "Now, if God has so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." So, yeah. Of course, all we have to do is go to the Psalms. Often in the Psalms, the psalmist makes points like, "I have seen many things in my life, but I've never seen the children of the righteous go hungry or without shelter or without clothing." And so, yeah, I mean, God does take care of his people, even though the wicked out there seem to be prospering. We sing that song, "Why do others prosper, though living in sin?" Well, okay, maybe that's a whiny song. But God didn't promise us wealth. He promised us a home in heaven, which can beat any wealth that you can imagine on this earth. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." We have to remember that. I mean, that's very important that God is going to guard us from the evil one. And the evil one is all around us. The evil one is everywhere in this world. And it's all going to perish, as God said. It's all going to perish. Now, also, God gives. Another characteristic that we find in the prayer, God gives. Jesus says that we need only to go into the prayer closet, the prayer room, and God will gladly give blessings. And that room, like I say, doesn't have to be a specific closet or room. It can be anywhere you are. God will address, and he will gladly give blessings as are needed. Matthew 7:7-11, he talks about this prayer. It is of importance to understand that the Greek language refers to ask, seek, and knock as imperatives. Ask literally means keep on asking. Don't just ask one time. Some people go to God in prayer and they ask one time for something. It doesn't happen immediately. Well, he really doesn't want me to have it then. Now, Jesus talked about these prayers. He talked about the widow who was needing some oil, and she banged on the neighbor's door, and even though it was dark and they had already gone to bed, she kept knocking and knocking, and finally, okay, I'll give you your oil. She was persistent. Sometimes she'd come before a judge constantly and constantly. And there's another parable Jesus talked about coming before the judge and asking for a petition until finally it was almost the point where, oh, fine, go ahead, be that way. I mean, sometimes we don't want God to ignore us. We can't stand it when somebody else ignores us. We don't like that. If our employees ignore us, we don't like that as managers and bosses. I mean, that kind of gets under our skin. And yet a lot of people choose to ignore God. But yet, if we were to ask God, and what if he ignored us? We wouldn't like that. So keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. We've got to be, this way I look at it, I've got to tell God, I really want this. I mean, this is really important to me. And I'm just not going to ask one time, and then if the answer is no, just give up. I'm going to keep asking, as long as it's within the will of the Father. That's the other point about this. It has to be according to his will. If I'm asking for a raise on the job or a promotion, or if I'm asking for my sports team to win the ball game or something like that, those are not things according to his will. But if I ask for a talent that can assist someone get to heaven, whether to improve my speaking ability or the way I say my prayers or the service that I might do, if I can do anything to help someone get to heaven, that is according to God's will. And that's what he wants from us. So keep on doing all these things. And so this teaches a great lesson in our faith in relation to God's desire to give us blessings. He wants us to demonstrate our trust in his goodness and love by continuing to ask, seek, and knock. And in turn, he will show his faithfulness by answering our prayers. And this is in accordance with his will and with God knows and what God knows is best for us. Yeah, sometimes we might be asking for something and, that's not the best thing for you right now. And we might desire something, but we have to examine, why do we desire it? Is this something because it's going to make me look better in front of people? Or is this going to enhance something about me so that I can be more glorified instead of giving God the glory? So, yeah, God knows what is best for us. See, we can have the assurance that God wants to give us blessing and answer our prayers. In 1 John 5:14-15, like I said, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. Yeah, this applied to the other point also. So he will always answer our prayers. It may not be the answer that we are looking for, but it will be an answer. Somehow we just have to recognize that answer. I mean, if you're praying for that raise so that you can do something for the Lord and it doesn't happen, well, God doesn't want me to have it. You kind of figure that out. Sometimes a lot of things are left up to us to have to figure out, but it's not that hard. See, James 4:3 says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." This is what a lot of people pray for. You know how many guys go out on a date Friday night praying that they'll get lucky? And you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, they pray and they can get lucky. I mean, people do that. I guess girls do it too. I don't know. But anyway, if we ask for the wrong thing, God's not going to do that. See, sometimes we feel that we do not want to burden God with our problems because our problems are so small in view of all the problems of the world. And sometimes we probably do feel that way. I don't want to burden God with my little piddly little things that is kind of bugging me. I don't want to do that. Because let's face it, this world is in a mess. And God's busy taking care of all of it. And so sometimes that's the way we feel. What I can say to that is get over it. See, did you know that God still wants to hear from you? God does want to hear from you. He wants to hear from you often. And that's what he wants you to do. God wants a conversation with you. He's already spoken. He's given us his word. And so we have God speaking to us, but he wants to hear from us. So we have that conversation. So go to prayer in your secret place and tell God about your day and your cares. And put it all in God's hands. God's going to take care of us. We have the assurance of that from the scripture. I guess the hardest thing for us is to believe what the scripture says. That God is going to take care of us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That rings so true at this point. And we will be better off for doing this. So that's our lesson. God is close and he wants to keep in close contact with us. And we need to do that. So consider these thoughts. We always sing the invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.